Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Alan Hassler, attorney registration number 11291. I'm here on behalf of CAM Colorado, the appellant and cross appellee. We have asked this court to review a decision of the Mesa County District Court on access to some property owned by CAM Colorado. The adjoining landowner is the other party, the Biddles. And the case itself involves Biddles' successful adverse possession action, recognized transfer by adverse possession of title from CAM Colorado to Biddles of three parcels of land. We're not directly appealing the adverse possession decision on parcels 1, 2, and 3. Our concerns center on parcel 3 at the north common boundary between CAM and Biddles' property. By the way, Biddles' property is on the west of this line and CAM's is on the east side. The problem faced by CAM is the court's decision eliminated the access for that particular parcel of CAM's to any publicly dedicated ways. This land is one of two contiguous parcels owned by CAM. CAM owns one further to the east. It's our contention that this parcel, even though it's contiguous to another one owned by CAM, is also entitled to access, and that the trial court erred when it decided that CAM was not entitled to an implied easement by necessity across the land that it formerly owned, and thus not allowing it to reach these publicly dedicated ways. The other issue, or the other matter.
Can I just interrupt first? I want to make sure that I'm on the same wavelength. So is that what has been argued to us as the indispensable party issue?
That is the next thing I wanted to address.
How is that different from what you've just said?
The indispensable party has to do with the existence, the underlying existence of this publicly dedicated way that CAM is trying to reach with an implied easement by necessity. The publicly dedicated ways appear on the Loma Town site plat. They're a dedication to the public. This publicly dedicated way would have ended at what was formerly CAM's northwest corner of its property. It would have been able.
Counsel, you didn't happen to bring a map with you, did you?
As a matter of fact, I have one.
Well, we have one. I thought perhaps you might bring an exhibit with you, a larger exhibit, so we could be looking at some things.
Exhibit 2 is probably the easiest one to look at.
While he's searching for that, could I ask you a question?
Sure.
My understanding from having looked at some of the maps is that a big chunk of the property that CAM owns is along Route 50. Is that correct? Or a portion of the land that owned by CAM is along Route 50?
There's an intervening railroad right-of-way, and that's intervening landowner between it and U.S. Highway 50.
And that can't be crossed?
As a practical matter, no. As you probably know, the railroads have a long history of that gives them very good title and very good rights to keep people off of their land.
But you're going to have to come across it to get your spur down there, right?
Actually, the spur is by agreement with the railroad to come off, to be able to access that railroad main line. But that doesn't include the right to move motor vehicles back and forth across the rail line.
Thank you.
The necessary party issue arises with respect to the publicly dedicated ways. As I was saying, the publicly dedicated ways were in the township plat. And also,
do those dedications evidence unequivocal acceptance, which is a requirement for dedication?
The county and at the time of the Loma Township plat had no procedure. There was no statutory authority or procedure for a county to make these unequivocal acceptances. What we find in the case law, and the case law that I looked at, is these were concerned dedications to a named entity. This dedication in the Loma Township plat is to the public. The one thing, or one of several things that happened to indicate Mesa County's acceptance of the dedication or to overlay a separate type of access is the county accepted a road petition that would have established what we now know as the Allen and Quarter Road or east-west line that Kim was trying to reach by the way of necessity. Now, that happened in, I believe, the Loma Township plat was 1902, 1907. The county accepted that road petition that would have created this Allen One Quarter Road. Then in, I believe it was 2007, the county accepted a subdivision or replat of land north of Biddle's land. And in that replat process, the county required the subdivider by the name of Wilson to indicate on Wilson plat, Wilson's land affected by that Loma Township dedication, the Allen and Quarter Road alignment. Actually, it would have been just the north half of the Allen and Quarter Road alignment because that was the only one on Wilson's land. And the county also, in trying to catch up under Mavaca's case, was recording in the clerk and recorder's records road petition said it had accepted over its entire history. The county updated the map and re-recorded that accepted road petition. Now, I agree that that road petition actually hit notice of title in the Biddle, or notice of record in the Biddle title well after Biddle's had taken possession. But Biddle's, in their argument that no road exists or there was no L and a quarter road, are also ignoring the fact that their land that they owned and took by deed was conveyed by designation of the Loma Township tracks. They were aware of the Loma Town site map.
Don't you want the county in the lawsuit and having them put on some evidence so that you could nail down this issue of dedication?
Well, I would say that could have been or would have been nice, but the county was not a necessary party. The reasons that we believe the county was not a necessary party is that the declaration requested only that public, that there was publicly dedicated ways there, did not address any county responsibilities. It would not have added or subtracted from county ownership of any real property interests. It would not have required the county to do anything. If CAM had not faced this adverse possession, or if they had their implied easement to get over to the end of Allen and Quarter Road, they can then go to the county and ask the county to open road or to do otherwise make the road available for CAM's use. But at the point of just defending against the adverse possession and trying to protect some kind of access, I don't believe the county was necessary, at least from CAM's point of view.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Wouldn't the county perhaps want to be involved in some action in which the court may declare that it is the owner of these public roads that are in question? And perhaps the county might want to say, we don't want those roads because we don't want the responsibility, or we don't want the requirement that we maintain it, or we don't want the potential liability that it may impose on us as owners of those roads.
I can't say how the county would want to spend its time and legal resources and its money on these kinds of questions. What I do know, or what I'd argue, is that it didn't matter. The declaratory judgment that there was a publicly dedicated way did not affect the county rights. If there is a publicly dedicated way, the county still has the same ability. It could open road, it could go through abandonment proceedings, it could go through vacation. If that thing exists, that's the only way, if that publicly dedicated way exists, and if it is subject to county control, the only way the county can get rid of it, whether the county was in this lawsuit or not, is to follow the statute. Its case law is clear that county can only get rid of its public roads or ways only through statutory process.
That in and of itself be enough to make the county a necessary party. The fact that if there is a declaration that this is a publicly dedicated way, that the county then, if it did not want the responsibility for that road, would have to go through an abandonment or a vacation process, which if it never, if there were, this declaration never existed, then the county would not potentially ever have to go through that process. So it would affect the county's interests, would it not?
It would, but the county had the declaration occurred, and Cam would approach the county. The county has plenary authority over its road system. It could say, we aren't going to open a road, and by the way, we aren't going to allow you to use it. That's a risk that Cam's willing to take, but it, under the denial of the declaratory relief and denial of the easement by necessity, Cam can't even go to the county and say, I can get to this end of your road. Will you open the road? Will you allow us to improve it? There's, you know, the county doesn't have to do anything right now. It's status quo. And whether the county participated in this litigation or not, county's not, it gets to do what it wants, I guess. I think there's some policy considerations here that the trial court overlooked. The law favors the use of the land, and use requires access. When the, as was said in the Campbell versus Summit Plaza case, land should not be rendered unfit for use or cultivation by lack of access. The trial court incorrectly decided these policy considerations because it left several things. One, it left the land west of the Loma drain without any access from the west. It left the land between the Loma drain and the Reed Rush, this is moving toward the east, without access. This land up to the Reed drain is an independent parcel that under the Campbell case is entitled to its own access to public way, not dependent upon the fact that Cam owns the next parcel east of Reed
Rush. Was that argument made to the trial court?
I do not know. I was not trial counsel, and I do not recall seeing that in the record.
Was. And you said that the trial court's decision resulted in denying Cam Colorado access to the west.
Yes.
Does it have access to its property to the east or in any other direction?
It does not have the access it is entitled under the Campbell case. The land in the land on the west of the Reed Drain is reached by crossing land east of the Reed Drain. The land east of Reed Drain is accessed by a private easement from, I think, 15 Road. In other words, a mile and a half east of a mile and a quarter east of the west line of this parcel. It's remote. It's accessed only by crossing on a private easement of other land. I would submit that that is not the legal access that's that the parcel is entitled to under the Campbell case. With respect to the implied easement, Cam sought to, in the event of the adverse possession decisions transferring title, Cam needed to protect the access of this parcel to those publicly dedicated ways. It asked the court for the implied easement of necessity. And
let me ask you this. I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, but I want to find out a little bit more about this. You had a mining engineer for Cam's parent company that testified that Cam, in order to use its western property for future purposes of constructing and maintaining a rail line, would either need to widen its existing railroad bridge, build a new bridge, or cross the Biddles property.
Right.
So that seems to me to say, or what that mining engineer is saying, if we don't cross the Biddles property, then we can use the existing railroad bridge we have, or we can build a new bridge. Is that what he's saying?
That is. The testimony of Mr. Heaps also points out that reed wash is heavily regulated. It's under the Colorado Department of Health and Environment. Not sure that's the right agency name, but it's Department of Health. It's under the EPA. It's under, this project is under Federal Transportation Administration. And the reason the project's not, or one of the reasons the project's not being built at this moment, those permitting issues are still there.
Sir, your time is up.
Thank you.
Your Honors, may it please the court. My name is Lance Timbreza. My attorney registration number is 38229. And I represent Patricia and Dale Biddle in this case. I want to key in on some of the issues that the court was discussing a moment ago. Let me begin by way of background. I know the court's read the briefs. The Biddles are an older couple who have been on the property for quite a while. Mr. Biddle grew up there. They're farmers. They care about the land, if you will. Mr. Biddle described the refinery property, as he's known the camp property, as being a building that's three-quarters a mile away from his property because there's a buffer. And that's the first from the Biddle property heading east, the Loma Drain, and then the Reed Wash. It's never had rail spurs on it extending close to the Biddle property. And indeed, the Cam Mine is 20 miles away from this property.
And just to orient me, counsel, that mine is north?
So I believe it's 20 miles north. It's called the McLean Canyon Mine. So it's actually north of Fruta if you were heading to Rangeley, if you're familiar with the area. And the coal is trucked down to this site, or it will be, and then put on rails there with the hope one day of having a rail clear up to the mine. I don't believe it's being used at all now. CAM paid $4.5 million for this property and has an expectation of what it can be used for. But at the time they purchased the property, this lawsuit was ongoing. There's an exception in Exhibit 21, I believe it, paragraph 32, to the impact of this litigation on the rights that CAM would have in the property. There was an inspection that Mr. Heaps talked about in the record looking at the access issue. The public roads, and he said, well, we looked at the documents, and it's clear from just the briefs to the Court of Appeal that the impact and the effect of the documents, and by the documents, I mean three primary documents, the road petition, I believe that that's Exhibit 11, the county road system map, Exhibit 28, and then the Loma town site, 8 and 9. Mr. Paris, the expert of CAM, said some of them apply, some of them don't. He's testified, for example, that the county road petition doesn't bind the Biddles because of the City of Lakewood case. He testified the county road system, which Mr. Hassler referred to, doesn't show L Road, L and a quarter road, or 13 and a half road on it, which leaves us at the Loma town site. And the court's asked an important question. Where is the clear and unequivocal acceptance? And there isn't one. There's some notarizations on the front of the Loma town site map. There are the private parties, members of the company, who agreed amongst themselves to have a private town site. There was testimony that one of the county, Mesa County notary seals was an acceptance, but Mr. Paris clarified, no, it was just a notary of a signature. So there's nothing. And then the court can look at, and did, for example, Exhibit 15 and 16, which are some vacations of some of the Loma town site roadways, where the county says it's unclear whether money was ever expended, it's unclear whether there was ever acceptance. This is the county talking about the Loma town site in various aspects. So to say that the county doesn't have a role or shouldn't be there, I think the trial court was right. They said it's patently obvious the county needs to be there. And what's the harm? Bringing the county in, when the motion to amend the complaint came in some days before trial, the Biddles raised the issue and said, hey, let's call Mesa County. We think they need to be a party. Nobody said they needed to come in. 60 days close to trial was a little late to join them and find out what their position was. But there's still another remedy here, and that's that even if this court affirms, as it should, the case can still be brought involving the county. the court didn't deny the existence of public roads, didn't admit the existence of public roads, just said, can't decide it without the county. Bring the county in. So a new case could be filed. Now, the problem is the county's position may have been fleshed out over the course of this case, and so there's some risk. But that's not in the record, and that's not really for this court to consider. It's the standard of review, and that's, did the trial court abuse its discretion when it made its finding? I think it's also important because the trial court did make a specific finding about abandonment. And the same argument was put forward in a trial court that a county road can only be abandoned by statutory abandonment. And that's not true. The trial court didn't agree with that and cited the Board of Commissioners versus Cable case, which talks about common law abandonment. This case, if there were public roads and we went to the merits, which are unnecessary for today, I think it really would support common law abandonment, even if they were there. Mr. Biddle's testimony, the only person that's been on this land for a historically long period of time, is that there's ditches where they claim these roads are, there's a garage where they claim the roads are. They've never been developed. They've never been used.
Actually, there's nothing on the ground.
There's nothing. And that, you know, that's exactly right. You talk about a road. We're not talking about roads if you talk to the Biddles. The testimony is pretty clear. You're talking about the land they've been using as their land.
And don't have an issue of abandonment unless we have dedicated and accepted roads.
Exactly. Unless we go to the merits and we're not there.
And let me ask you this. Was, other than clear and unequivocal written acceptance by the county, is there anything in the record about the county accepting these particular roads that are in question in this case in any other method, by performing any kind of survey on them or maintenance or repair or
there's not,
public use or anything?
There's not, Your Honor. To the contrary, Steve Biddle, who works for the county and maintains county roads, including the county roads in this area, Steve Biddle's the Biddle's son, and he lives on the property. He testified he's never maintained these roads because, as you pointed out, they're just not there. So there's really nothing to show anything as to acceptance by the county. I think the point was driven home in response to one of the questions, and that was, we can't say what the county would say, which really says why the county was a necessary party. In terms of, if I can turn to the issue of the easement by necessity, there's been a lot of discussion about the necessity arising at severance. And the Colorado case law on adverse possession is clear that title vests upon satisfaction of the statutory period. And that's important for two reasons. When looking at easements of necessity, you look at the historic use at the time that the easement by necessity arose, looking at the grantor. And that puts us back way before CAM. It also pegs us at a time where the historic use of the western part of that property was riparian, buffer, and hunting grazing as to the Biddle property. If the court accepts the argument that there was a transfer by adverse possession from CAM to Biddle, it wipes out this whole idea of tacking, because the cases say you can only convey title that has been acquired by adverse possession by deed. And indeed, the cases deal with successive people who have adversely possessed, and you rely upon that to get your 18-year period of time. And it has to vest. Otherwise, if CAM stepped in and they were now the owner and therefore the grantor, you could never run the statute. And so just as a policy matter, severance has to be upon satisfaction of the statutory elements. And this court's seen cases, the Beaver Creek Ranch case is an example where the court said title vested a long time ago. That case was brought, I believe, in 2006, but the court said title vested in 1954 in one instance, in 1981. What happened subsequently doesn't matter. And the historic use of this property has been fairly limited. Another key point is Mr. Heap's own testimony, and that's that there is the possibility and the ability for access from the east. One of the issues that's not been really fleshed out is an interesting one, and that's, we all know from reading the briefs that it's hard to cross the Reed Drain, but there's going to be a railroad. and so Cam needs access from the west. But coming from the west, they've got to cross the Loma Drain. And the testimony from Mr. Heaps is that crossing these drains is difficult. There's oversight. Mr. Hassler just referred to that. Mr. Biddle talked about the nature of the land and why there's so much oversight. It's protecting the land. CAM itself seems to acknowledge the nature and characteristics of this land, and it's not for the type of use that it's being put to today. And so the court didn't abuse its discretion. There's no necessity being shown. It simply did not grant an easement by necessity because it wasn't appropriate.
Well, you run out of time. Let me ask you this. Where does CAM Colorado presently have access to its property other than what it's seeking by reason of necessity, easement of necessity from the east?
I believe on Exhibit 2, and it may have been, Your Honor, on Exhibit 2A, which is the folded up highlighted version that witnesses talked about. Mm-hmm. In the record, Mr. Heaps was asked to point out the eastern access, and it essentially comes from the east side of the property, heading east from west, and by the property, I mean from 15 Road, it goes east, essentially straight across in a westerly direction, the CAM property, and it comes up to the Reed Drain. One of the stipulated facts in the TMO, and I believe that's at 182 in the record, was that there is access from the east for CAM all the way to the Reed Drain. They've got to then cross a drain to get further west, but that's no different than if they come the other way and have to cross a drain. The issue here is there's got to be a bridge built one way or another, and the Biddles would suggest that the cases that talk about looking at the type of land and determining the appropriate access is appropriate. On the west side of the property, foot access across the drain, and we're talking about the Loma Drain, that's appropriate access for the type of property.
Is there any testimony at trial regarding what would happen to this project if the access that's being sought by CAM is not granted?
There was no testimony that it would do anything to this project, because the only testimony from Mr. Heaps was that there may be future uses, maybe, and that it may be necessary for maintenance. They purchased the property and understood the litigation was going on. That was discussed in the record. And they still went forward with the purchase and the project. It doesn't appear to change any of the current uses, at least as far as the record shows. What the record does show is it would detrimentally impact the Biddles' livelihood and the way that they have used this property and are the record owners, at least as to what was awarded, parcels 1, 2, and 3. And it would change what they have known their property to be and what they built their lives on for the last good part of the 1900s and this new century. CAM came to this late in 2010 and is seeking a whole different type of use of this property. They're the newcomers here, and it's two different stories. CAM would like to look at the last chapter with a bunch of conclusions and say that's all we need to look at. You can say the county is not necessary because the county would win. You can say that there's an easement by necessity because we need to get to it in the future. The Biddles would tell you start from the beginning and look at what these properties have been, and then get to that last chapter and affirm the trial court so that the Biddles' land stays just as it always has been. Thank you, Your Honors.
Still have some time left, and I would like to hear your comments about your cross appeal.
Certainly, Your Honor.
And why why we should potentially remand this to the trial court for entering an amendment to the judgment addressing parcel 4.
First of all, what the Biddles would like is a remand to the trial court for a consideration of the issue of parcel 4. And this arises, Your Honor, out of the fact that, as you're aware from the record, there was a lot of testimony about parcel 4. Parcel 4 came up at trial in part because Exhibit 2A delineates the parcels. I mean, parcel 1, 2, 3, 4 are the names that the Biddles gave these parcels going into trial or at trial as a means for the court to be able to distinguish between various areas. Exhibit 27A, the overlay to Exhibit 27, clearly shows Parcel 4 on it. And as each witness came up and talked about Parcel 4, to put it in context of their parcels, it became clear that the use there was a historic type of use that was less than Parcel 3, but was sufficient to support the type of use for the land. Then the trial court discusses it in the February 28, 2011 order and says it was talked about, it's a closer question. The motion to amend comes in saying, hey, it was tried, we argued about it in closing, witnesses talked about it, it was discussed in opening, and the court says, well, I don't remember it that well, there wasn't a formal amendment, I'll look to the trial brief and the TMO filed before trial to determine what happened in trial. And then even the order denying it says, well, I remember that it wasn't a big part of the case, and at closing, counsel argued against it and said the Loma Drain can't be a border. It seems like it was actually tried, and under 15B should be considered.
Why did your complaint describe the property and parcels in question as those bounded by fences?
My understanding is from the original draft of the complaint, I wasn't counsel originally, was that the Biddles weren't aware that the type of use that they put Parcel 4 to was sufficient historically for that type of claim. And at trial, it became evident, especially when there was other witnesses beyond the Biddles, Mr. Van Landingham, Mr. Klunker, who talked about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you to both counsel for your arguments. The case will stand submitted. Opinion will issue in due course.